Hello, 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 and welcome again to For Filth. I'm here with my lovely co-hosts, Dolce, Jahiris. How are we today?
Oh, am I the only other co-host? I'm just kidding. No.
I was gonna get into Caputo after, and then I was like planning on cutting you off and being really rude, but obviously, like,
I am the boy coming in from the meteor. Like, that was me. Just letting y'all know, I'm doing really good today. Feeling real emotional. This is honestly that project of the year for me. Like, this transcends everything and anything I possibly could have thought of. Coming from the meteor, like, honestly, I crash landed on Earth, and me and Missy Elliott met up, and we're also gagging. We are gagging.
Thank you, Queen. Thank you so much for your, just, like, for everything you've done for us so far. I just really want to thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Anyway, next, thank you so much for joining us, Caputo. How are you today?
Spirit! Let the heavens open!
Yeah!
Wow, like, sorry. Yeah, I'm feeling great, honestly. I spent all day working / rewatching Blackest King for the third time, so yeah, I'm feeling great.
So
Beyonce did that.
What is Blackest King for the culturally inept girls that are listening right now? What is that?
I got you. So Blackest King is the 2020 American musical film and visual album. I feel so cunt right now.
Yes!
It's like, it's directed, written, and executive produced by Beyonce. So Stan, a queen who is literally on every part of her film, made by Disney, and it's basically kind of a visual album for the gifts. It follows the deluxe editions track list. It's on Disney Plus, and it basically follows the story of the Lion King, but in a more kind of spiritual, culturally heavy reinterpretation of the Lion King in a live format almost.
Yeah, it's the Lion King, but it's also Black people's stories, Black narratives woven in, rather. There's a lot about this that I love because it's kind of like, it's a layered piece, for sure. Because I think we've taken lions out of the Lion King and we put niggas back in there. Because I don't know about y'all, but like growing up, I always thought the Lion King was Black people running around in Africa. Like, I thought it was about Black people the whole time.
I mean, absolutely. It's kind of hard to ignore that. I mean, I guess it's easier for non-Black people to think that when it's animated, because they're like, how are animated, you know, animals Black? But
it's the same way y'all niggas thought that Piccolo was Black. Like,
no, I mean, we didn't absolutely think anything.
He is. No, yeah, not yet.
Girl, I ran his records, bitch.
Girl, that's
those
an
Namekians. The
23 in Namek really did say that.
I mean,
23 in Namek, according to our recent studies, Piccolo is 53% Sub-Saharan African.
Y'all didn't know that Piccolo's from Pandemic?
Pandemic? You're done.
Y'all niggas saw the turbans, like,
literally.
I'm so mad at myself. Please continue.
I'm so sorry to the audience. We're cutting this part out. I just want to say, first, can we just, like, in, you know, 500 words or less, just go through how we feel about Blackest King. How do we individually feel as Black people and adjacent to Black people about Beyonce's latest just immaculate body of work?
I can't get into the emotion because I'm actually crying at the adjacency.
I literally like can't take any of y'all.
This is really not going to make it into the episode.
It needs to be. This is so much good content. Okay. But, like, no tea. I guess I'll open up first and just say, Blackest King, I went into it thinking, sis, I wasn't going to cry. I wasn't going to feel that connected to it. And honestly, Beyonce shut me the hell up so hard. Like, the first 30 minutes, I could deal with it. But the thing about this film is that it continuously is like an upper incline climax, and every single scene just gets better and better and more impactful. And I lost it when I connected my past, which is what this film is about, really, about connecting all of the parts of yourself together to make like this whole person at the end, at least to me. And I did the same thing with my own personal past and seeing, like, elderly black women in, like, these forms that I have not gotten a chance to see them in. It's, like, it's so impactful. Like, she really did that for me. I'm not going to say much else, but she really did that for me.
How about you, Caputo?
Well, I love Beyonce. I love her to death. I love The Lion King. Like, The Lion King by itself already has, like, a really special place in my heart. And just seeing The Lion King when it came out last year, like, that was an experience. And then the gift on top of that, like, there are so many parts of that album specifically that, like, really is just so moving. There's so many different parts of that, like, album sonically that just, like, really resonate. Like, knowing who you are and knowing your ancestry and knowing the power of you as a part of a community and a part of, like, a global legacy. So, like, that all wrapped in itself is already a lot. Like, I've already had my crying moment to Bigger, like, before Black is King was even a thing. And then the fact that that she had the audacity to start the movie with Bigger, like, I was already in tears by minute four. So,
she's the friend I never had.
She's the mother that everyone would want. Like, and that's the thing, it is, like, so funny that we, like, just said that, because, like, I think that Beyonce was taking a role in the movie that she was kind of, like, this mother role. Like, she was kind of somebody that was teaching throughout the movie and showing, like, the viewer, but also, like, the Simba, like, the boy of the movie, that there is a way to find who you are through your past. Which is kind of like what you touched upon, Dolce. Like, that is really moving and powerful. And then just to see all these, like, amazing black women, like, up, like, on screen, like, old, young, this, like, every kind of woman, like, that really was something that I have never been able to see before. Not, at least not from Disney. Like, we literally had Tiana, and that was literally it. Like, a skinny, like, American black woman. So, and the
girl was, you know, she was a
little, and she was a frog. And she was a frog the whole time.
Say it. Voice. We had the choir in Hercules, honey.
Help. So. Not the muses.
Not the help. Caputo.
Those girls don't even acknowledge the Cinderella version with Whitney and Brandy in it. So what
were you do.
I so, absolutely
Roger
do.
And Hammerstein's Cinderella, bitch.
She sure did that. Brandon so Peter, I think... Yeah, that, again, another moment. But I think, like, when it comes to Disney, like, we know that they're just starting to get into their cultural bag. Like, they just started reinvesting into all of the different cultures from the world. So, seeing that they gave Beyonce complete control and knowing that Beyonce has taken this kind of role in her career, kind of similar to, like, kind of like how Michael Jackson kind of took, like, a, like, go back, like, find your way back to Africa and, like, find your roots kind of, like, era. Like, that's kind of, like, what we're seeing Beyonce in right now. And the fact that Disney was like, you know what, like, here, girl, like, take all of the reins and, like, make something out of this. And she did, and I think that it was amazing. So, that's how I feel.
I like the theme between the two of you. You've both got this concept of integration of your identity and identities throughout time, throughout space, throughout generation. And I think that's quickly becoming a big theme for Beyonce, or it's been a big theme for her, I think, for a long time now. But the way that it's just appeared on screen in Black is King has just really been special for me personally, because it's so nice to see somebody like me, a Black Americanized person, Americanized Black person, reaching back and trying to find a sense of identity regardless of context, regardless of timing, and feeling like you're still this, you still have an identity and you have a personhood and you have a connection to everyone else in our diaspora. I know for me too, that same feeling of connection is one that I often feel when I think about people who I'm related to who don't actually live here, you know? And I wonder how, for people who were like generation, you know, like multi-generational Black Americans, you know, descendants of African and American chattel slavery, how they particularly feel. I think that's definitely a conversation I'd want to have too, is how like Black Americans, descendants of chattel slavery, feel about the concept of reaching back to continental Africa, or at least a connection to continental Africa, as a means of at least completing or maybe or amplifying identity. So
yeah, there was like, and I kind of liked that, because I think there's been a critique of Beyonce that has kind of been floating around, that she's a very, very American woman. And it's kind of like there is kind of a disconnect between like African culture and Black American culture. So that is something that I also thought, is like, how is it being perceived by like two different types of Black people that like would see it completely differently. But there was one part of the Nile, like the Nile song, where there's a spoken word part, and essentially it seems like they're speaking directly to like Black Americans. It says something along the lines of speaking to Uncle Sam as like America, and saying, I don't know my own language. If I don't know my own language, if I don't know myself, how could you know me? And it's like just going back to that same kind of idea that you have to know where you come from to know who you are and to know where you're going, and to even be able to explain yourself to other people, you have to know yourself in an intimate way. And I think that's what Beyonce is trying to do, is to like show that you need to understand, you should want to understand yourself ancestrally over generations, and your generations are a part of you, and that will help you understand who you are and where you're going. And that's like a big part of The Lion King in general, is like knowing who you are to know where you're going.
So yeah, I think that's 100% what Beyonce is trying to do. I know that there are Black Americans that I've spoken to who feel like there is this assumption that Black Americans don't have enough narrative or enough culture or enough context on their own here to be valid. And in some ways that makes, you know, immigrants to like Black immigrants superior to them. And it makes like continental Africans superior to them in some way, because they have this like innate connection to the real, you know, to the real Black experience. And I think one thing I would personally want to do before we even dive into this and start celebrating it is acknowledge that, and also say that I personally feel like what's great about this particular thing is that as much as I think Beyonce does believe that there's value in reaching to Africa, I think that Beyonce brings Black Americanness to the conversation. She brings her Creolehood to the conversation. Yeah. She brings a lot to this conversation that is just as important and just as valuable as the narrative of like reaching back, because I think there's a little bit of like a time travel thing happening in the actual film, right? Like it doesn't always feel like you're back in like the old times. It feels like we're here and then we're there and then we're back again.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. And we'll talk about that just for the sake of the audience. Like, the goal is to actually have a little fun today, so we're going to talk more about that stuff in our next sort of, we're going to do like a second follow-up episode on this, and we'll talk a little bit more in depth about those themes. So I was hoping we could also talk through what we've heard people say a little bit more too. Like, do we feel like our friends like this stuff? Like, are people gagging on the TL? Like, what's good?
I mean, I've only heard like high praises, girl. Like, I mean, maybe that's just who I'm talking to, but like, I've heard praises on high. How about you, Dolce?
The girls are trying to step up their wardrobe right now, because this show, ooh, I mean, this film really just made me dwarf what I have in my closet. Like, Balenciaga is dead. Nobody cares about this anymore. It's time to start making your own clothing. It's time to get textiles. It's time to get tulle. Okay. Like, it's honestly what this film has done for people's typing skills is amazing, because finally the girls are really, you know, I have to be gaggy, but it's like, I'm on Twitter all the time. I'm so over the girls taking the time out of their day to post 120 characters of nonsense and then to critique someone without actually like looking at the film first. But it looks like everybody pretty much watched this film first, and when they're like, okay, high praises, I appreciate it, I'll critique it probably tomorrow, this is everything. Like,
yeah,
It's so good. It's as a whole. It's not even just like mini pieces that were good. And like, there's yeah. even the commentary that some of the girls have said, you know, Lemonade found dead, but I don't think that's true.
Okay, can we talk about that? Can we talk about that? I'm actually gonna let me switch gears on that real quick.
Because is that's Lemonade found vital. Dead? That's the question.
Number Lemonade one. Is alive and living no. and thriving. I yes, saw a man. She is.
First, let's credit the girl with the tweet. It was at The Condition. We'll tag her after the episode airs.
Fuck her.
Let me tell you something. I liked, resubscribed, retweeted. I totally agree that Lemonade was found dead in the moment. Because the reason I say this is because this took Beyonce to another level. Like the concept that Beyonce could get to another level is nuts after what Lemonade did for us. But like, and when I say did for us, I mean like Lemonade was an event. It was an experience. It was like resonant, right? And that's why I say it was dead for a moment, because girl, we had her on life support within seconds after the fucking heartbeat. After the heartbeat, you know, like stopped, girl, we were like, bitch, resuscitate this bitch. Let's get her everything she needs. Let's get her on liquids, bitch. So she's good now. But like, she had to take a break after what we just got from Black is King. I'm sorry. Like, you can't.
I would love to see what the girls are thinking in 6 months, because this is what always happens. Y'all did the same thing after Lemonade
was released.
Y'all, meaning all y'all, because you retweeted and resubscribed and all that. Y'all said that. Y'all said that self-titled was found dead when Lemonade.
I didn't say that.
Y'all, okay. Y'all excluding
Julio. I totally might have said that. I might have totally said that.
Fake. The reason
I'm
why
not fake, I still feel that way.
The reason why I don't want to like claim that, you know, Lemonade has left us, even for a moment, is because I don't consider these at all comparable. I disagree so much. I would say if Lemonade or if Black is King was a movie with actual dialogue, and it was more so along those lines and not just a visual album on the same lines of Lemonade, then I would maybe want to entertain that conversation a little bit more.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Y'all girls will literally have just Disney. Walt Disney will throw more money at Beyonce, and she'll put on a higher production level.
What's the problem?
And y'all will say that Lemonade was found dead.
Let me say something. Just before Dolce's going to give an amazing opinion. I know it. I just wanted to say this to what you just said. Like, first of all, I don't think that they are so different that they can't be compared. I think that's false. I think, like, anything can be compared, as we prove every single day on the internet. Whether it's fun or, like, maybe even intelligent to compare things is a different conversation. But, like, they can be compared. They're two visual art, like, albums. And I say visual albums because even though Black is King is a movie, it's also, like, a visual album. Beyonce is known now to be, like, that girl who does visual albums, I think. I think it's pretty solid and clear that that's what she does.
Yeah.
So I would say that it's still qualifies as a visual album. And from the standpoint of speaking to blackness in an authentic way through music and visuals and fashion, it's all that Beyonce's been doing. So I don't see the issue necessarily in saying, okay, what did she accomplish this time versus that time? And that's why I want to very, very delicately say this time, as opposed to in my inflammatory way before, that it's not so much that she's invalidated the work and the progress she's made with Lemonade. It's that I think she's yet again defied expectations and the odds as far as what she was able to bring with this project, because it wasn't just money. It wasn't just budget. It was the thought process. It was the connections. It was the building, and it was the representation and the respect. Because Beyonce, I think, with Lemonade did a lot for us Black Americans on this side of the ocean, right?
Right.
And for her to cross the sea, bitch, and to like actually like connect with those people and hold their hand. And I say those people very like delicately, right? These are our people. But like to connect with continental Africans, hold their hands and like build something collaboratively with them in this way, and then also represent it on the screen in that way. It's just, she didn't do that with Lemonade. It just adds a different element. And I think that's what I'm trying to say when I say Lemonade was found dead. It's just. I like
again,
this.
Y'all
I like
this
so much.
Y'all were making the Pan-Africanism parallels with Lemonade as well.
Well, it's there, but for me,
it's not like she didn't make those find your way back moments to Africa, because she did. She put a lot of thought into the behind and
but no one said she didn't.
Who you are.
No one said she didn't, but I think I got into this with Dolce yesterday. I very much so see Lemonade as like source material for this side of the ocean. Like literally like Africans cross over, and where did we get? We got here. And that's why I actually feel a connection personally with Lemonade, actually, because as a Haitian American, I feel like a lot of what my people experience is an American feel. It's like a colonial American sort of situation. And so a lot of the way spirituality came through felt more like my spirituality than it did necessarily like a continental African person, even though it was all there. Right. So it's not to say that she didn't do it before. I think that because she went and collaborated and added these extra elements, it's like her, it's almost like the pieces of the puzzle that's not even any one of the albums. It's really just the overall arc of her work is right. becoming more and more complete with each iteration. Does that make sense? See, like, I almost want to say is it's getting better. That's my main point.
But that's, I think that's a different stance than Black is King killed.
No,
Lemonade.
But it did. I said, she was, King, I said she's alive now.
Okay, Black
Girl,
is King.
Girl, she's alive
Black
now.
King,
she's fine.
Black is King did not take, you know, the plug off the respirator. Look. Like, Black is King was standing there with hand in hand with Lemonade. Like, I'm overseeing.
Girl, you,
like,
y'all in this kumbaya shit. No,
did
girl.
Y'all see this? It's about Africa, bitch.
No, bitch.
Like, it's about Africa, bitch. I'm sick of seeing this damn gif of this man taking the child and like
and
dragging
him
across the table with the Lemonade, and the, like, I'm over it. Like, Lemonade is everything. Black is King is everything. Y'all will not do this.
No, but you know why I have to do this? Because y'all bitches, before this fucking music video, this extended ass music video came out, a lot of the bitches paid the gift dust. I'm talking like acted like the gift didn't happen. Meanwhile, I'm sitting here like, fine, you at? Like learning the African dance moves in my room by my damn self. Now everybody want to get crowded up in the dance studio to learn the steps. Mm-hmm. I don't fucking think so. I think y'all hoes need to fucking know what the fuck just happened. Black is King went and just pushed all the bitches' food off the table. She didn't even eat it because she's skinny. She pushed the bitches' food off the table. She said, y'all can clean that up. I'm not done. You know, I'm doing what I'm doing. Y'all can eat after me. Like, it's not even to say that Lemonade is suddenly not what it is. It's not to say that that self-titled was not what it was. It's just the fact that Beyonce can come back and give you more still is the point I'm making. So obviously, we went around in circles, but that's the gag.
No, I mean, okay, so if I could just interject really fast. Because,
do it, bitch.
You know, the Black adjacent girl and the actual Black girl, you know, stop. Just went, they got real heated.
I hate that I'm Black adjacent right now.
But, you know, the first thing I want to say is that my mixtape, if it hit, it hit. Y'all will be out next week. YX'LL. Because you all are doing a lot of y'alling.
You're right. We should stop using that word, honestly.
Yeah, we're all a problem.
I'm fine.
Here. Okay, Julio, I'm gonna let the audience know. Julio was adding me when she said, you know, some of y'all paid the gift dust because, you know, I just watched Spirit 3 weeks ago before Black is King came out.
And just so y'all know, I heckled her for that. So
he sure did.
Accountability is friendship.
Guess what? I was always in the lead. Who you want to be? I'm who they want to be. B-E-A-U-T-Y-E. Never been so much Sage of a Queen.
Hey!
Girl of your dreams, St. Clair Beige, turn to the max, can't forget Maxine. I was like,
look though. Look, bops. And it's not because of the music videos, bitch. It's the songs were already there. Y'all just
the songs
got.
Were there.
Y'all didn't realize, and I literally, and I'm saying this right now, I called this album Limeade last year as a gag because I was like, it's literally like the spiritual successor of Lemonade. Like, it's just taking it to the next level. Nobody wanted to listen to me. Everybody was gagging over, you know, I don't know, whoever
was
releasing music last year.
I mean, like, for the audience, me and Julio had a conversation yesterday, and I want to go to her point where she talked about this. She mentioned yesterday, like, Julio mentioned yesterday to me, like, how there's, like, this perceived thing that I was doing where I was kind of having, like, this overarching, oh, like, Haiti is more African than a lot of the other West Indian nations because it still has this connection back to Africa, yada, yada, yada. So I took that, I watched Black is King, And then I decided I am going to re-listen to Lemonade and re-listen to a few things. When I think about Lemonade, this is just like my counterpoint, is that Lemonade to me is an art that is very specific to Beyoncé. I feel like people forget that Lemonade is a kind of like conduit through Beyoncé's life that is personal relatable life to all African-American Black women. It like has so many themes that Black women specifically go through. The whole idea of birth and family and being a wife and that construct that keeps them in that, you know, kind of like never ending cycle of how do I live up to the point where I can be this like foundation for a family. Like that was really, and Beyoncé was going through that at the time. So a lot of people resonated with that, the whole mother piece and becoming a mother and what that parental feeling does to you. I mean, it's powerful, but that album was singular for her. Black is King feels like, again, I'm going to make another, like, you know, fucking anime nerdy, like, reference, but it feels like Avatar. It just feels like all the ancestors, like, held their hands together and created this, like, end game, end goal, kind of like, this is all of the Avatar state in one go. Like, every piece, every nation came together, even the Fire Nation, they didn't even attack, bitch. They actually were nice to us, and we get to see, like, kind of, like, this end goal game of, like, wow, these people are powerful. Because even that whole past, future, like, the playing with time kind of thing, I think that was intentional for this film, because it was showing all of the different pieces of this, quote-unquote, African-ness that you can have.
Blackness.
Yeah, but I think I would say Africanness only because there are a lot of like African specific references that we're blended in with.
But that gets to the thesis that I think Caputo sort of mentioned, and maybe you mentioned earlier too, which is that like, I think Beyoncé is making an argument about our Africanness being essential to our Blackness, and that recapturing the Africanness is part of making Black King again, almost.
I feel like everyone's acting like as if we're trying to like make like an anchor tether to get back onto the ship, when really it's just a puzzle piece. Like,
I mean, I think some people say that, though. And I think you're right, that it should be a puzzle piece.
Because I think that there's a lot more to this than just we want to reclaim Africanness because we don't have our own culture. I don't think that's the case. I think you made a good point yesterday that we all have our individual cultures that connect back to it in some way, shape, or form. But that is not the sum of the parts. It is not the end all be all, because Trinidad has its own culture. Haiti has its own culture. And although we're West Indian, I still feel connection, a lot of it, back to Africa, even when I'm not trying.
Certainly. Yeah. Certainly. So I think it's that important. I think putting a Black body, and this is just like the tea, putting a Black body anywhere causes an impact. Like, and it's that's why like songs like fucking Brown Skin Girl, songs like Keys to the Kingdom, like when I think about just the impact of being a Black person in space and in any part of the world, it is not the same as being anyone else. And I think that that's like where we get that individual culture and spirit of innovation and in the connections that like, you know how you can like look at something and be like, yeah, they do that over there. That's kind of like what we do, you know? There's those like, there's just those essential pieces of what we do and how we operate and move through space and how people treat us that I think we carry with us everywhere we go. And it's not about Africa versus Trinidad or versus Haiti. It's about Black.
Right. Like the same thing happens with the whole like Asianic piece for me, because I almost relate these two things, is that for most Eastern Asians, like for me, I don't identify, I see it as Eastern Asia, but for people in China, they actually believe that Chinese is a race category, and that there is a breakdown to the ethnicities of the Han versus the Africa Manchu too. Versus the Mongols. So if they're allowed to have these things, and I have no connection back to it because I identify pretty much completely as Black, I know I have a cultural element and I do have family, but that's not my calling, and like, I don't want to say calling in life, but that's not the thing that has brought me up, that has reared me up. That's not how I've lived. That's not how I can live. So I think that this connective piece, there needs to be a little bit more room for us to grow, especially since we all know the history of like how Africans have been, you know, how the diaspora has come to be. I think there has to be a little bit more openness to the idea that we need to kind of share, because we're already sharing. in a mm-hmm. sense.
What I kind of liked is that Beyonce was also reminding us that, yes, like, she is Black, American Black people are African, but also, like, a lot of this shit is African. Like, I think she said at one point that, like, they didn't know what beauty was until they saw us, or something like that. And then there's so many parts of, like, including Christianity, and, like, reminding you that, like, a lot of these, like, early Christians and Jews, they were Black people. Like, it wasn't just, like, it's remembering, like, all the things that, like, you didn't think that Black people were included in, just based on the way it's been taught. And then, like, I don't know how many times I saw, like, the Madonna in this film, and it was Beyonce, a Black woman,
that's as
the
Madonna. That's so important.
Like, so important. I was like, oh my god. And then, like, I forget, I think it was Mood Forever. I feel like that scene, or that video, whatever you want to call it, that part of the movie, it was giving me a lot of ape shit parallels because of the opulence of it. And then right at the beginning, it has the Carters standing hand in hand, standing in front of the fucking Madonna painting that's Beyonce holding her child. I was like, this is just wild, and it's almost just like spitting in the face of like medieval Europe. Like, bitch, like, try that shit again.
Add to that. Can I just add like a little segment to that? Like, please. I just want to, because this is supposed to be gaggy, so I just want to be gaggy right now. Let me tell y'all, the Mood Forever, first of all, the first part, I cried, because the intro with the girls and the women playing patty cake and shit like that together.
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't know, something hit me, and like the cinematography really had me hurt, but it opened up a little wound. But then it got gaggy, because this high camp queen, Beyonce, in this pink Mugler-esque headpiece swimsuit, swimming through the water. Let me tell y'all, this is the most camp I have ever seen Beyonce. She really like added humor, the layers of humor to this, of like, mm-hmm. this is ridiculous, some of the shit she's doing. The carrying of her blue, purple ass train with that fucking church lady hat is gag worthy. The butlers, the fucking grills, the bottom of the, okay,
yeah, honestly, the grills were everything. The grills with like the little boy wearing the grills too, like, oh yes. My god, it was just so much opulence. Like, that scene was just complete like opulence. You own everything. Like,
it's not
it
a kingdom anymore, it's a niggadom. Like, it's it
I mean
is
the, that's
high
the
camp.
Time travel piece, just for the sake of the audience. Like, there's some pieces where we feel like we're like in, you know, dare I say, relatively, you know, like, antiquated spaces in Africa, and then we're like in modern villages and slums, and then we're also like in this high opulent capitalist Carter mansion type situation with like Black people as chess pieces, like on a board, like,
yes.
But even just, when you think about like the costuming, like, it's, I'm just going to add the fact, we're going to do an episode on fashion, but there were a lot of like tulle gowns from, I want to say it was like 2018 Balmain, and then somewhere around spring summer for Valentino, they did this thing. Everybody wanted to jewel tulle. Tulle dresses, Ariana Grande had her Gian Battista Valli gown at the Grammys, that gray one, the cloud, like, those things were already being made. But for Beyonce to kind of juxtaposition these fashion, these luxury labels, juxtaposition to Black fashion designers, and show like the campness of luxury brands that Jeffree Star and shit buy, but then you juxtaposition that to Black designers who are destroying these girls, like destroying them with just the like intricacies of the textiles and things like that that they're using. It's so, there's just so many layers to the video. It's insane. And I love an all Black swim team. Something about that just makes me cackle.
I love a good synchronized moment too. Like, they were really giving you, and like,
that was sickening.
That's the thing. And like, kind of like a theme, not really a theme of like the story, but like a theme of all of the choreo, like the synchronization. Like, I know that Beyonce had these girls in the studio like 25-hour days getting this choreo right. Because there was not one hair, one follicle, one braid out of place when these dance moves were happening. Like, it was insane.
You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me a lot of The Wiz. like, that specific scene reminds me a lot of, like, the campness and Broadway theatricality.
Oh, like Emerald City Wiz.
Very Emerald City. It just gives me that energy of, like, and I mean, mind you, the Wiz, honestly, was better than the original Wizard of Oz, to be honest with you. Like, for that Broadway.
Let's clock it.
Let's talk about it. Diana Ross did that, and none of y'all are going to take that from her. Like, that entire production was godly. Ooh. You watch that film to this day. The production level was so next level, and it did not gain, harken back to our Emmys conversation, it did not get the same type of attention that the main Wizard of Oz got, but yet the Wiz skyrockets above in terms of production level.
Mm-hmm. And if you haven't caught that episode, I hope y'all watch it. Well, please. Listen to it. One day you'll watch it, maybe. We'll
it's see. Called CUNT, Criminally Underrated New Talent.
Bitch! That's actually sickening.
I know. I'm so good.
Did a genius like that? Did a genius pen that, bitch?
Maybe a savant. I don't know. She's, oh, okay. You know, she has light skin, though, so privilege. But
yeah, we got to dock a few points for that. So light anyway, I feel like we have about 5 minutes left. I want to really quickly just, like, talk through maybe, because I think we already talked about what we feel like people are saying about this. So maybe at the end of the day, it's really important for us to consider, like, what's next? Like, where does Beyonce take this from this point?
Oof.
You know what I'm saying?
Fuck. This necessarily isn't very canon for Beyonce. If we're talking about, like, yes, this is a project of hers, but I see this as something that she's adding to her belt. She says, like, I'm an executive producer, I can direct, I can do all these things.
But, oh, you're like, talking about the actual mechanics of the production itself.
Right. Like, I think that she definitely showed her ass with, like, what she's able to do and, like, the actual story she's able to tell. I really do wonder what she's going to do next, because it kind of went from something super personal. I thought that Lemony was amazing because of the way that she was able to take something so personal and also tie in things like Pan-Africanism, like African deities, like womanhood, like all of those different things in Lemonade. I was like, this is insane. Like, this is like showing that Beyonce has a mind that is able to pull things together. And I think like this was also showing that same ability for her. I wonder if this is going to necessarily impact the way that she makes her own, like, whatever, B8. What album are we on now? B7?
I feel like this is B7, but it's not.
See, but the girls were saying that about The Gift itself. Like,
The Gift was B7.
Oh, okay. In my opinion. Okay. Yeah,
but
yeah.
This
yeah.
is The Gift. This is just another sort of, like,
right.
vibe. This is like an echo, like a very powerful,
I mean,
echo off The Gift.
I agree with you, but, like, I think that, like, I wonder where we're going to go next, because a lot of Beyonce's albums are super personal to herself and her own life, and I think this is also very personal to her own life in her own way.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. So I'm very curious to see what, quote-unquote, for the girls that may not believe that The Gift is B7, what they believe will be the next Beyonce-inspired album.
Other than yet another visual documentary, because I think that's coming, like either right. making of The Gift or maybe something about the way her family has developed through the time of her making these projects, I see a screenplay and maybe like a live production
Ooh,
in her future.
I think screenplay would be everything. Maybe like a not a rock opera, but like, you know, like a kind of like a musical in a way, but like right. a filmed one maybe. Kind of like how Hamilton is now on Disney Plus. Like, I'm thinking something along those lines.
I can see that for her. I can see, like honestly, The Gift, a musical, like a musical of The Gift.
Yeah.
In using these black bodies in this way, like in the live production and like adding dialogue or even just keeping it musical would be amazing. Like, I would pay a lot of money to see that.
Because we know Beyonce can't act, but she can act when she's in a music video.
Like, Beyonce can perform.
Beyonce can perform.
And I think that one thing that Beyonce has to her credit is Beyonce has an impeccable voice. Her just vocal instrument is beautiful. Just listening to her talk is great. So I feel like as she grows that, we might see her in more like animated stuff for sure. Because it's less about critiquing her appearance and how she appears on screen and more about
what she brings. I don't know. I mean, the girls were dragging her Nala.
Like, I stand the Nala. Lions. Attack.
Are you with
Lions?
Me, Lions?
Are you with me, Lions? I'm sorry. Nala is it was it.
You know she had to put that in the movie. She had to put that in the movie too.
I was she so knew annoyed. It was the best line of her whole career.
It
bitch.
Was.
Are you kidding?
It was.
You gonna tell me that lion didn't have y'all snapping, bitch? Like, who was that?
Ooh. In the theater?
Beyonce! Oh, I am so sorry, Beyonce.
I'm so sorry. And she's like, well, that actually was me, though. You know what? Here's the thing. Like, I think Beyonce has already... She's got her own publishing deal. She done made her own publishing contract. That was a big thing when her and Jay-Z did that. And they no longer had their albums and stuff released through a record label. Like, they have control over that. I think... In terms of, like, is it vertical integration or is it horizontal? I think it's vertical, right, Julio?
What are you talking about?
When you end up going up the ladder and diversifying your portfolio of what the company can produce. I think
that
it's
would
vertical.
Be that would be, well, a vertical is a specific, like, section or segment of your audience and what you offer. So I think it would be horizontal.
Okay. I think you're talking about lateral integration.
Well, horizontal and lateral technically describe the same kind of thing. Yeah. So it could be.
I think it's horizontal because, like, they are kind of not eliminating, but they are taking over certain segments of entertainment and are able to start producing their own things. Like, they've got Parkwood Entertainment. They've got their own label now, which, of course, Chloe and Halle, shout out to those girls doing it. You know, they've got that.
They even had Jay-Z's, like, alcoholic beverages in the fucking...
Yeah, they can do a lot. So I think Beyonce's next move, honestly, is to kind of... If I'm being honest, I could see Beyonce, like, removing herself from the main screen and becoming, like, the director of things and creating cinematography and being a part of, like, imagine a record label film of, like, all of her different artists, like, in, like, I don't know, some kind of, like, public critique on the riot system now and, like, having yeah. Chloe and Halle and all of these different artists in it and making albums to it and... She's also kind of critiquing what is going on at the present, in present day. Like, she is kind of, she's living through it the same way that we are in some ways. So I think, like, her next move is probably to go towards the Black American liberation kind of front. I think Black Parade was, like, a good example of that. Because I still, to this day, stand that I thought that as soon as the song started, I was like, girl, this sounds like that olive oil box that everybody lays their edges down with. Like, that's what that song gives me.
Say that again for the audience.
It's true. Like, Black Parade is literally that olive oil box. You know exactly the one I'm talking about. The one that you lay your edges with. It's the edge control.
I was about to say EcoStar olive oil.
Oh, no, I don't use her. It's too hard. Bro. It makes your hair crunchy. No.
Girl, this product review is unsponsored.
Please. I know, it's not. Sorry, EcoStyler. I really do love y'all's coconut oil version, though.
Okay, EcoStyler.
Okay, argan oil.
Though. Argan oil, yes. I have a jug of it in my bathroom right now.
I don't use it much because, you know, we go for, like Beyonce said, girl, let it dread up, let it lock up, bitch, let it be a kink. But, you know, when we're trying to give, you know, Latin America, we definitely do put some tubs of oil conditioner and
not tubs
and gel into our hair, bitch. Yes, we do.
Yeah, when I'm not trying to have the Puerto Rican girls call me out at Ember, like,
right!
I put a little EcoStyler black castor oil version in, when, and it's when wavy.
When you want them to ask if you speak Spanish without you mentioning it,
yeah,
you put that that shit in your hair, bitch.
Yeah, girl. Okay, Google, translate.
I'm so tired. Okay, Google.
But Beyonce is ready to take the fuck over with this after this. Like, I totally agree with you, Dolce. I think that she's ready to, like, she's shown y'all that she can have a multi-decade, like, performing career. And now I feel like she is kind of doing this thing where she's able to get a bunch of proteges in a way, or, like, get a group of people together that have different strengths. They have dancing ability, they have singing ability, they have acting ability, they have kind of like everything going on, and like she's able to make a production out of it. So I think that now that she literally has actual proteges being Chloe and Halle, I'm sure we're gonna see more of a younger talent that Beyonce is gonna be investing in, and I think she will probably take sort of a backseat like Jay-Z kind of has. Like, he is, I really only hear about him when he is going on tour with his wife. But, like, I know that he is still very heavily involved in a lot that goes on in music, entertainment, and the business side, exactly. So I think that, like, Beyonce, because our queen is about to be 39, girls. Like,
but the thing is, we still need more choreo. Like, now that you told me you've unlocked this new level of African-inspired dance, girl, you telling me you're not going to give me this African choreo on your next album or two, bitch?
She was giving you the entire West African coast. Like, she went from Cote d'Ivoire, she went all the way down to Cameroon.
I'm tired.
She went through Ghana, Benin, and Togo, and she ended up in Nigeria. And I was like, girl,
I'm
like,
so glad. Looking like Shakira, I was like, girl, you're looking like everything colonial, but girl, get it.
Stop!
She was! Like, the thing with Beyonce, and this is, we're gonna have to cut this short so really quickly, so I'm so sorry. Beyonce stay looking like a colonial product every time she shows up around these black girls. I'm just like, you are obviously a black woman, but these blonde wigs, these laid edges, honey, these tricks that she's playing with makeup and with the camera, I am so irritated. That needs to be critiqued, okay? We need to talk about this.
We love you, Beyonce. Stay tuned for our episode on fashion and Beyonce's light-skinnedness.
and Beyonce's colonialism. Thank you very much.
Anyway, for more for Phil, check out our next episode on Black is King.
As we're all dead before the next episode airs.
Right, like lemonade.